This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
15-second video on TikTok, like, I can do that.
Okay, then do it. Like, come on. Do it for 9 years straight, and then we can chat about, like, how to get brand deals and start getting paid. And then what, right? Like, working a 9-to-5 is hard. Having no job is hard. Being a student is hard. Every single job is hard. Pick your heart. Everyone has to do that. It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. Thank you so much for joining me in today's episode. Guys, I'm so excited for this one because I haven't filmed a podcast episode in almost a month. I have been spending the last 2.5 weeks in Europe. I went back home to Romania to visit my family, and I hadn't been there in 15 years. It was like insane seeing it all with like adult eyes. And it was so nice just taking some time to spend with family and travel and just enjoy some time away from work and school and all of that. Now, of course, I did have to do some content work while I was there because the grind never stops, but it was still nice to kind of get away. And I love traveling. This was my 8th trip in 8 months, so it was so great to be able to actually go to Europe and do a bigger trip. But now I am back. Strapped into work and ready to get back into things. Today was actually my first day of school, the day I'm recording this, not the day it's posted. And that was really interesting. I had like a lot of thoughts going through my brain last night before, you know, the first day of school. And I felt a little bit sad because I love what I do as a content creator. I love my work, and I'm just not in a headspace right now that is really in the headspace for school, if that makes sense. I feel like I have bigger things right now that are my priorities in my mind. Of course, school is so important, and I hope I kind of snap back into it once classes start, but I'm just in a different space right now, and school isn't my primary focus, but it has to be because I have 2 more years of school. And that's kind of why I was inspired to film today's episode, because I really want to talk about this topic of, is influencing hard? Is influencing a hard job to have? Is influencing harder than 9-to-5? Is a 9-to-5 harder than influencing? I really want to get into all these details because I myself actually have had the experience of working both a 9-to-5 job full-time and also influencing and content creating full-time at the same time. So that's why I really wanted to dive into this episode and give you my thoughts, because I know this is like a very big topic and a really big debate on social media. You know, influencers are out here saying, no, this job is hard. People who are not influencers say you guys have the easiest job ever. So I wanted to, you know, clear the air as someone who has worked both jobs at the same time, full-time for both positions, and really give you my opinion on if I think influencing is hard or not. Now, to give you some context, I did work the last 16 months in the Canadian energy sector. I was a project engineer. I was on internship for the last 16 months, and that's why I'm going back to school now. I am currently studying chemical engineering and business, majoring in operations management in school, so I'm taking a 5-year dual degree, and with that, there was an additional year to do internship. So I took that opportunity upon myself, and I really wanted to see kind of what that corporate life was like working as an engineer, and the position that I got was in the project engineer kind of space, a lot of project management work. project work. I worked mostly in a pipeline transport company. So that's mostly the things that I saw on day to day, just to give you a little bit of context. And really, I wanted, you know, to kind of talk about my experience doing that, because I think I was in a very interesting position. I don't think too many people get to really live, you know, both sides for that long. I know a lot of people, once they kind of start building their career as a content creator, once they kind of get to the point where they could be full-time, a lot of people do kind of leave or quit their full-time job. I am not in the headspace where I am looking to quit school, drop out of school, quit my career as an engineer. If anything, you know, if I wanted to go full-time as a content creator, I definitely could. I'm at a place where I'm very comfortable with the amount of, you know, income I have coming in and stuff, especially as, you know, I'm finishing off school and everything. But for me, it was also very important to have this career as an engineer and have my education, and that's why I'm not dropping out. And I think I could do a full episode on, you know, why I am pursuing, you know, an engineering career and a business degree if I'm a content creator. Like, a lot of people ask questions about that because they just get really confused when they see me in both spaces, and I could do a full episode on that topic alone. If you guys want that, let me know, because I'd be happy to dive into that, because I have a lot of thoughts on that, and I think it's a very valuable episode for even other influencers to hear my opinions on this. But in this episode, we're going to keep it to just this comparison and kind of my thoughts on that. So first off, let's talk about, you know, what we're comparing. And I would say that I didn't have the hardest job in the world. You know, I think it's very hard to quantify like a difficult job, because I think every job has its difficulties. I can tell you right now, I used to work retail in high school, and yeah, that was a pretty easy job. I went to a store, dressed up, and sold clothes and cashed people out when they bought their purchases. But there were parts about the job that made it hard. For example, for me, what made it hard was doing the same thing every day. Showing up to the store, seeing the same clothes, folding clothes over and over, and when it was slow in the store, oh my gosh, I would lose my mind. The second thing that was hard for me is, like, I'm not a standstill person. I'm someone whose brain is always working and I always want to be doing. And in a retail space, I wasn't able to do that. And I found that, you know, just within a few months, I had learned everything I needed to learn. I wasn't able to expand. Nothing was exciting me. I knew that I wasn't going to move up within the company at all, because even if I was, I'd become like the general manager or something. Like, it wasn't something that I saw myself doing. Now, obviously, most of us, you know, work retail throughout high school or university just to get a quick buck and get a paycheck in while we're in school. Now, I'm not saying that if a job like that is really what you want to do, like, is necessarily a bad thing. It's just not for me. I feel like I have a lot more drive and a lot more aspiration than necessarily working a job that's pretty like mundane. I don't want to like offend anyone when I'm saying this. It's just like everyone has preferences, right? I know some people I worked with at the job that would not want, you know, any more responsibility than cashing people out. You know what I mean? Like, I was ready for more, and I knew that going into the job, but I kept this job throughout high school and university. And I worked there for 4 years, actually, at this store, at Banana Republic. I worked at Banana Republic. And yeah, I remember when I put in my resignation letter and I started working for a biotech company, working in research and development and marketing, I was so excited because I'm like, this is something new. This is something that, you know, aligns more with my passions and that I actually see my career going into. So that's what made that job hard, in my opinion. Also, the fact that I was locked in there, like when you're working a shift job from like, you know, 12 to 8 or 12 to 4 or whatever, like you're in that store from those hours, you are not leaving, you know, having like a 15 minute break, having an hour break, and literally being timed for your breaks, like that is difficult, I feel like. And that's what I mean when I say this. I don't want to say like, you know, this job is hard, because I think every job has nuances about it that make it difficult. I saw a post the other day actually on my Instagram, and I reposted it to my story because it really resonated with me. You know, it said, working a 9-to-5 is hard, being an entrepreneur is hard, having no job is hard, being poor is hard, you know, like every single job is hard, being a student is hard, but at the end of the post, it said, pick your heart. And that's what really resonated with me, because it's like, it's very easy to compare and be like, you know, like, you have it easy, you have it easy, you have it easy. Like, I think everything in its essence is hard. It just depends who is actually doing that job. And to kind of, you know, make this a greater example for you, think back in like school, right? Think back to your favorite subjects. Like for me, math, science, physics, those subjects for me were subjects I really liked. And yeah, they were hard, but because I understood them, I had an inclination towards them, I had, you know, motivation to learn these subjects, I didn't find it as hard as someone who maybe loved English and social studies and arts more, that would, you know, not only find the math and physics hard like I did, but they would also find it harder because they had zero interest in these topics, or their brain just didn't work in that analytical way. They were more creative, you know? So I think it's very easy to kind of label something as hard or difficult, but you have to really understand perspective in these cases. And I would say I have a lot of compassion and understanding for content creators as well as people who do work a 9-to-5 job. Now let's kind of get into it, you know. So I worked a 9-to-5 job these last 16 months, and let me point out some things that made it in my eyes easier than content creating. First thing being that no one expects you to work 24/7. And I'm gonna, you know, take this with a grain of salt, because not every content creator works all the time. You know, there are a lot of people in this space who work very, very hard. And I'm not saying that, you know, other people don't deserve like their following because they work less hard. There's just certain people who will not dedicate 100% their time to their craft. They will make sure to take weekends. Like, I know plenty of content creators who take weekends, you know, who have evenings, who have like a 9-to-5 schedule, and they revolve their content around that. That is personally not something I do, and it would be impossible for me to do that because I was working another job from 9-to-5, 8-to-5 actually. So the only time I could do content work was in the evenings and on weekends. So if I was not willing to give up and sacrifice my weekend.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
And evenings, I would not be able to do content creation full time outside of this other job. Now, I was very used to this dynamic because when I was in school full time, it was the same thing. Like, it was school, study, content, school, study, content, school, study, content. And yeah, did my social life suffer because of that? Did my family time suffer because of that? Yes, but I had to make certain choices and sacrifices to be able to reach my goals. And maybe it was, you know, instead of seeing my friends once a week, I would see them every couple months. And that's just the sacrifices I need to make. But just to put in perspective, like, there are some content creators like myself who will work every single day of the week. And there are some content creators who say, you know what, I'm going to keep my weekends open. I'm going to keep my evenings open. And that's fine too. It just really depends the way you want to work. But where I was going with that is most jobs don't expect you to work weekends, especially, let's say, more like entry level jobs. Now, there are plenty of jobs that make you work 100 hours a week and don't pay you for it. Think anything like in finance, consulting, accounting, and even engineering. Like, I knew a lot of my colleagues who were working overtime and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, you're still expected to, you know, have some time in the evenings where you're putting your computer away. You have some time on weekends where you're spending with family, not necessarily thinking about work. And I would say that that was a part of the 9-to-5 world that I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. You know, you were like, you have scheduled free time. And I was never used to that because in school, you don't have that. They put my exams on weekends all the time. And then same with content. Like, I was always having to film on weekends because I had school during the week. So I was not used to having, like, free weekends. And although my free weekends were me content creating, it was still nice to have, like, no schoolwork and no studying to do on the weekends. So for me, it still felt very free. But that's, like, that first thing that I would definitely say. And the second thing is you have a more stable idea of your income. Now, of course, with any job, like, you never know. You could lose your job one day, right? Like, you could get fired. Your team or branch of your organization could get, like, totally reorged. Like, you never know. But there is more stability in that than content creating. Because with content creating, you don't know when your next paycheck is necessarily. Brands pay out, and I don't know if some of you guys know this, but brands pay out like 30, 60, 90 days, like business days after the project is done. And sometimes you're like hunting down brands like to send you like your payment. So you never really know when you're getting paid, and it's never really like stable. It's very cyclical. You know, think of like your big promotion days, like Black Friday, Boxing Day, back to school, start of summer, you know, around then you'll tend to have more brand deals going on. And then if you're getting paid 3-4 months in it, like later, you know, it's going to take time to build up that income. And then 1 month you could be up so much and be like, wow, I made so much this month. And the next month, because you don't have any payments coming in, you're like, oh, I made no money this month. So there is that like worry. And then also the fact that you are literally, you know, your job is to have engagement. Your job is to have followers, have views, have virality, you know, like if like that's not gonna happen in like a 9-to-5 job, you know, like you go there, you do your best, you perform, and based on that performance, like, you know, your work is complete or not. And of course, there are some situations where, you know, people aren't appreciated for your work, but with content, like, you could spend all day putting your, like, blood, sweat, and tears into a video that you were really passionate about, and then you post it, and it gets 2 views, and then what, right? Like, you're not making any money off that, so it can be really defeating and really difficult to kind of start to, really difficult to understand that and, like, work with that, because I know a lot of people can get really sucked into the whole numbers thing, and I've done it too. It's really, really easy to get sucked into and really, really hard to get sucked out of. But the next thing I would say is, like, if you're having a bad day, like, you can go to your office, like, you know, do your work. And obviously, like, every job differs. Some people might have more social jobs and stuff, but for me, like, if I have an ad due that day and I'm in a bad mood, like, I gotta put on a good smile and a good, like, mood for the ad, because people can see right through when you're, like, not feeling great. And obviously brands want, you know, like, a happy, cheerful video, so you kind of have to put that on. And I will say, like, always being on the camera is exhausting. So that's, like, one comparison I want to make too. Now, there are some other things that, you know, people don't necessarily think about when they think about content creating, and I want to get into this first before I talk about some of, like, the more easy things. So first thing is you never really get, like, a full break from it. The reason is because a lot of us content creators, you know, we post our lives on the internet, and that's what gets us engagement. So think of it this way, like, every morning when I was getting ready for work, instead of just sitting down, doing my skincare, doing my makeup, in the back of my mind, it's like, I should be filming this. I should be filming this. And then if I didn't film it that morning, like a get ready with me or a review or trying a new product, then I was like, man, like, I should have filmed that. And I felt like I wasn't doing my job. And if I, you know, maybe did film that video or whatever, like, my account would have done better or whatever. Like, it's a very consuming and tiring headspace to be in, because you're constantly thinking, like, I should have had my camera out. I should have been filming this. Oh, I could have made content out of this. And that is very draining. Like, for example, I was just in Europe, and yes, I enjoyed so much of my time with my family, but, you know, when I was at the beach or at a really cool restaurant or at a view or getting ready at night, like, I was constantly thinking, what content can I make out of this? And that is really exhausting, because you can't just, like, go out to dinner, get ready, you know, like, think of, like, all the times that your favorite part of the night is, like, getting ready, you know? And although my favorite part of the night is also getting ready, like, some days I don't want to film. But then I feel pressure to film because, like, one, you know, I should be trying out this new product on camera. Second, though, is with my schedule, I don't have the time to, like, just get ready on my own and then film another video later for content. Like, the way my day was set out when I was working, at this job and similarly when I'm in school is like I wake up in the morning around like 5:45, 6. I'm going to get ready, do my makeup. I'm going to film that process. Then I'm going to go to work or school. And while I'm going to work or school, I'm going to edit that content so that I can post like during my lunch break, for example. And then when I get home in the evening, then I can film like more content if needed. But that was like my typical day. So I always felt this pressure that I had to film whatever I was doing because you don't want to miss it for the possibility of content and all that. So that is very consuming and very draining when you're constantly in that mindset because you're never able to just like put work away and stop thinking about it. Now, of course, there were times where I thought about like my engineering job outside of work hours, but it wasn't to the same degree as it was with my content. It purely wasn't because when you, and I've talked about this a lot, but when you have something that you have built from the ground up, that's like your baby, that you have been able to turn like a passion hobby project into a career, you will not do anything except put your blood, sweat, and tears at all moments into that business. Like everything you think about is for your business. So that's very much how I felt. And I wasn't able to feel that same amount of connection to my 9-to-5 job. Now I'm a very dedicated worker. I am someone who will always, you know, go above and beyond whatever job I'm working at. So I still made sure to do that at this engineering job. I'm just talking like on an emotional connection. Like you're way more connected to something that's your own and your own business than, you know, working in like a large corporation where you're like just a number. I hate using that term, but like there was like thousands of employees at this company I was working with. But I'm getting a little off track here. So that's like one thing. It never shuts off. The next thing I want to talk about is the mental aspect. Now, I will say, you know, working an engineering job, like, yeah, it was harder. There were technical skills required. There were things that I had to pick up really fast. And there were deadlines to be made. And the biggest thing was like, we are working with people's real lives here. Like, at the end of the day, if I don't post a TikTok that day, like the world is not gonna blow up. People aren't gonna put in an Amber Alert for me. Like they're not gonna call the police. Like people aren't gonna like call the police to like report a missing person. Like the world is fine if I don't post a TikTok that day. It's just more like mental, like, you know, because I feel like I should be posting, or of course if I have a contract, that's different, but I'm talking just like more in a general sense. Whereas like at work, like if you mess up something, like there are consequences to it. There are people's lives and safety that go into this, especially like at the job I was working. So there's definitely that pressure to keep up that, you know, high performance. And that is definitely stressful. That is for sure stressful. So that was like another difference. But the thing is, with content creating is it's mentally challenging in the way that, you know, of course engineering is mentally challenging. Like school made me cry far too many times. You know, engineering is a very like tough degree. They put you through the ringer. There's a lot of weeding out process. I was talking to my friends about this today because we started the program with like 800 kids and I think we're down to like 500. So they weed out a lot of people based on grades. So it's a very rigorous and intense program, but content creating is mentally challenging in like a different way where you are putting yourself out to the world and it takes a very like specific type of person to be able to handle that many eyes on you. And I think the thing is like we're not built as human beings to have, you know, fandom. We're not built as human beings to have like celebrity status and a following and have this many eyes on us. And social media has been able to uncover this whole new layer where, you know, you can have hundreds of thousands, millions of people watching you. And as a content creator, you know, that can definitely be hard sometimes, especially when you are getting criticism, you are getting hate, you are getting a lot of opinions built on you that, you know, are from people who have never met you and actually don't know anything about your life but have built up a judgment on you based on like a 30-second video. So that takes a very strong mind to be able to do content creation, and this is where I see
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping, and this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces, Gucci bags, Prada heels, but my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
A lot of creators, newer creators, at least who, you know, can't withstand that pressure or feel like it is way too draining mentally, because it is. And that's why it's not for everyone. And I think even some people who are content creators in the space, I still don't think it's necessarily for them, because it is a lot. Like, you need to be able to be very mentally strong and really know how to take people's opinions in as a content creator, because you cannot take everyone's opinions. You'll never please everybody, and that's a very like hard thing to get to. I think also there's such a big like comparison game, and you constantly feel like you're not doing enough. You constantly see the person with, you know, 100,000 subscribers more than you, or 100,000 followers more than you, and it's just this like ladder game where you just want to get to the next step, and it's really easy to compare yourself and feel like you're not successful enough, or you're not doing enough, or maybe if you just did your content this way or this way. But like, you have to keep a strong mind and know that like the content you're doing is out of passion, and you have to keep following your passion and doing things right by you to really get anywhere, and stop letting the numbers literally eat you alive, because it can be so defeating when you post a video and it gets zero views that you've worked so hard on, and then you post a video that like literally took you 2 seconds to make and it goes viral. Like, that is so frustrating. But you have to just stay very neutral with your reactions, whether a video does like phenomenally well in terms of views or not, and just realize the impact you're having on your community, because that is really the true like job of an influencer. You know, it's not about getting a viral video each time. So that can be very mentally challenging, I would say, and that's one of the things that I, you know, have definitely struggled with. I'm definitely a lot better at it now. I don't get really caught up in views that much, or like hate comments. Like, I always laugh at hate comments. I'll use them to reply to a video and get myself like a video that gets even more views, because like, it is so funny how people can make so many judgments on me and they do not know me at all. So yeah, I literally don't give a shit about what people have to say about me online. I made a whole podcast episode about how to actually handle negative external opinions and how to handle them in a positive way and turn them towards your own benefit. So go check out that episode. It's actually one of my favorites that I filmed. But like, that was a long rant, but that was the gist of it, that like content creating can be very mentally challenging for those reasons, that you have so many eyes on you. And I don't think it's like a natural human thing to like be able to handle that many eyes. And it definitely takes some strong, like tough skin. But since I started content creating at 13 years old, I think I kind of grew up with that, and I created some tough skin to like online comments. Like, those do not bother me at all. In-person comments, yeah, they can sting, but online comments, like, they don't really bother me, and I've been able to like kind of build up that thick skin in that regard. And if you haven't been able to do that, I definitely see why someone could find it difficult. And the next thing, I kind of touched on this earlier, but like, you never really log off. Like, think about how you maybe, like, if you're not a content creator and you go to your 9-to-5 job, when you get home in the evening, what are you most likely doing? Like, if you're gonna relax, like, you're gonna put on a show on Netflix, you're gonna go for a walk, listen to a podcast, maybe scroll on TikTok for a couple hours. Like, when I'm scrolling on TikTok, all I can think about is like, oh, I should use the sound for a video. Oh, I should do a video like this. Wait, I just got another idea. Let me write it down. Like, it doesn't really stop. And again, that comparison can kind of kick in, and then you check your own profile and your own videos and like refresh the page to see how the views are doing, you know? So it's very, like, it consumes your whole life. You know, content creating becomes your life in a way, and it's very hard to like fully take a break from it. That's why I try now, like when I'm out with friends and family, unless I have like a video to post at an exact hour, like, I'll put my phone down and I won't reach for it, because that way I can really disconnect from my phone and social media, or else, like, otherwise I would literally go insane. And that was kind of the nice part about having a 9-to-5 job too, is like, while I was at work, I couldn't make content. Like, I physically could not make content because I was in an office, I was working, I was clocked in, and I was focused on my job. So then I wasn't thinking too much about my content, which was kind of like nice in a way. I was able to compartmentalize really well, and I would think about this job, put in my effort there, and then once my 9-to-5 job ended, then I could switch my mind over to being a content creator and, you know, fuel my creative side. And I was kind of living like this Hannah Montana lifestyle of being an engineer by day, content creator by night. And especially when I'd go on brand trips and stuff, like,
the office was always like, oh my gosh, how was this trip, blah, blah. And that's actually what I want to get into with this next topic, kind of mini topic in this podcast, is influencers, content creators, we get a lot of like really cool benefits. And this is what I want to say, like, to anyone who complains as a content creator about their job, I would really, really try to rethink about what you are complaining about. And if content creating is something that like drains you that much, like really think, is this for me? I know I met this girl once and her manager told me that she has to really like drag this content creator out of bed to film videos. And that really stuck with me because I was like, I film videos because I love it. And you like, I wake up excited to film, you know? And if you get to the point where like, you are literally having to be dragged out of bed to film a video, like how passionate about it can you be, you know? So that like really stuck with me. And with, you know, when you start content creating for a passion, like I did back in 2014, when many people weren't being paid for this, the fact that I was able to turn into a job and make some money off it, like blew my mind and just made it like that much more exciting. But like my love for it never became like less or more just because I was getting paid or not. And like, there's a lot of amazing perks that come with being an influencer. First off, PR, like, come on. That is the most insane part. Like, every time I get a package, I am like mind blown that the fact that like, that is just part of my job. You know, brand trips, events, those are so, so cool. And I will never stop being grateful for experiences like that. Because it's not like, it's not normal, you know, like the day-to-day person doesn't just get to go on a full paid like vacation, right? But the one thing that bothers me a little bit when I talk about brand trips with people who aren't content creators is the fact that, you know, they'll say like, oh, and like the whole trip was free, like you just got to go on that. And it's like, you know, let's say the job you work for, if they asked you to go to a different place for work, would you have to buy your plane ticket? Would you have to pay for your stay? Like, no, it would be a company expense, right? Like you would probably charge it all back to your company because they're making you do that. So that's kind of how I would kind of put that into relation. Now, obviously, are influencer trips really glamorous and all of this and this and this? Yeah, but there is also work that sometimes you have to do on these trips. And they're very like go, 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 but they're also such a grateful experience. That's why I like cringe a little when I see influencers complain while they're on these trips. And like that is a whole episode in itself with some of the experiences I've had with that. But like, I have seen influencers full on complain about a brand trip or the food or the hotel. And it's like, girl, like you are getting this for free. Like no one forced you to be here. You could have said no. You could have given this spot to someone else who would have been 1,000 times more grateful. So that like really irks me when people do that. But like influencers who like, you know, take things a bit too far or are a little bit in their head and have let that like following get to their head a little bit are a whole nother episode. But that is one thing, you know, I kind of wanted to point out there because sometimes people do see it as like, oh my gosh, like you didn't have to pay to do that. And it's like at the same time, like it is kind of part of the job. And I think in any other job, like it would be considered a work trip. So it's the same thing. But let's talk about like what I find funny when I hear a lot of full-time content creators complain. And again, I'm not saying content creating is easy. There is a lot that goes into it. And I think if anything, it's more mentally exhausting than anything because like all the things I talked about already, like you're always thinking about the next content you can film. You never really get a break from it. But there is such a privilege and luxury of being able to make money off of this because there are days where you do not have to work. Like, as I explained before, there will be influencers who do not take a day off. You know, I will try to make content every single day that I can. But the thing is, when you are full time, you can just, if you don't feel great that day, like, and you don't have like a brand deal or something like that, you can just take that day off. And no one will ask you questions because you're self-employed. Like the only one who would be, you'd be accountable to is yourself. And if you don't want to work that day, you don't have to work that day. You know what I mean? So that is like a huge luxury to have. If you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, I'm kind of tired today, I'm gonna like sleep another hour, I'll start filming at like, you know, 10. That is a luxury.
You know, someone with a 9-to-5 job cannot do that. If they don't feel great that morning, guess what? They're waking up anyways and they're going to work because you know why? They don't get to go to work. They don't get paid for that day. You know, and there's so many sick days or vacation days that someone will have. The other luxury of being a content creator, and of course there's lots of remote jobs out there, but like from what I've noticed when every time I travel, like I can work from literally anywhere in the world. A lot of the times I'll just like pre-film my podcast or pre-film my YouTube video, but at the same time, like if I don't post that week, like no one really penalizes me except like myself, or maybe my followers, because you guys will be like, where's that new podcast episode at, right? But like no one cares about me that much that if I don't post a few days, like the world is gonna like freak out and be like, where did Lavinia go? Like no one cares about me that much, you know? So that is something that I wish more people, like influencers, got in their head that like most people cannot do that, of just like taking the day off, starting that day later. The next thing that pisses me off is when I see these influencers' to-do lists for the day and they're like, such a busy day today. And they have like grocery shopping, getting nails done, facial, filming a video, unboxing PR. Like those are, yeah, those are things you have to do. Those are, you know, make your day busy. But like that is not work. You know, getting your nails done, that is leisure time. That is something that you get to enjoy yourself. That is a luxury that you can even have the money to afford getting your nails done every 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Grocery shopping, guess what? Every person on this planet needs to grocery shop. Every person on this planet needs a grocery shop. So like when I was working full-time as an influencer and full-time as a project engineer, guess what? Between sometime in that day, I had to go to the grocery store, I had to order food, and I still had to eat and do my laundry and wash my sheets and clean the house and all of this stuff. And they'll have these things on their to-do list and be like, oh, today was such a busy day, like I took the whole day resetting. Like everyone has to do that, you know, not just like that is not part of your job. It's a luxury that you get to schedule that into your working hours and then you can have more free time, but that is not part of your job. And I think a lot of people who maybe haven't worked a 9-to-5 job and just went like straight out of high school or whatever and became an influencer, they don't see that. And that's why I think it's so important for influencers to have worked a 9-to-5 job, even if it's in retail, you know, like knowing that you're being restricted by like time and have like a shift, that puts into perspective how privileged you are to work as a content creator. Now, was it hard work to get to where you are? Absolutely. Is content creating difficult? Yes, because it's hard to stay relevant. It's hard to, you know, live this out for longer than like a couple years where your like virality dies off. Like it is hard to stay relevant and always be on top of trends and always, you know, make sure that you have the best quality content and that you're posting fast enough and posting at the right times. Like, yes, it is difficult, but there is so much that is so much of like a privilege and a blessing to have. Like the fact that people can do this as their full-time job is a blessing. I am every day blessed for the opportunities I've had, blessed that I can make an income out of this, and blessed that I can call my hobby my full-time job. Like that is insane and I'm so grateful for it. Don't get me twisted. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that, you know, anyone could do it, because you can't. That's the thing that will get me irritated with people who do call influencing easy and be like, oh, film a 15 second video on TikTok, like I can do that. Okay, then do it. You know, like if you're saying you can do it, do it. But it's hard to build a following. It's hard to be that consistent. People always ask me like, how do you become a content creator? Like what are some tips and tricks? Like do it for 9 years straight and then we can chat about like how to get brand deals and start getting paid. Because I didn't start getting paid like legit money as an influencer until maybe like 5-6 years into doing it. So like it takes time and consistency, the same way as you like go to university and pursue a degree for 4 years and then go get a job. Like it takes time to start making money because you need to build experience and stuff. Now do some people make money right away? Yeah, of course, but like not everyone, and you need to be willing to put in the work. And I put in that work, and like now I'm at a place where I'm so grateful for the opportunities, the partnerships, the income that I can have off this job. But I don't let a day go by where I don't reality check myself and realize that this could all be gone tomorrow. This is a privilege of a job to have, and I do not necessarily like deserve this. Like the world doesn't owe me to be a content creator. You know, I've put in the work, I have this, but like it could realistically be gone tomorrow. I know I got a little off track there. I got a little heated. I think I need to make an episode on like, you know, certain things that why I think influencers should also experience having regular jobs and why I think it's important, not just from like a mental space and, you know, kind of reality checking yourself, but also from like a financial space and having stability in your life and just having more of a routine. I think that's definitely important. And the thing is, like, I went into school today feeling very upset because I'm like, I just wish I didn't have this anchoring me down right now. I wish I was done school and that I could focus fully on my career. I could work as a content creator full time. I could work on my brand that's launching this month. You know, I can work on my other businesses I'm trying to launch. Like, that's all I wanted. But I realize sometimes, you know, that the universe puts you in certain situations and through certain experiences for a reason. And if I'm supposed to be at the stage of my life where I have, you know, my career as a content creator going really well, but also where I'm still pursuing engineering, maybe this is just the journey I have to take and I have to be grateful for that. And I'm grateful enough that I am in school and able to pursue this degree and also, you know, work as a content creator. Like, not many people get to say that they've had these experiences by 21. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for, you know, being able to be financially free and independent, but also still be in school. I'm very grateful for it. And I think this was the podcast episode I need to film today to make myself feel better about starting school again. But I will never sit here and say it's easy. And I'll never, you know, let anyone discredit me for my work or say like, oh, she's got it easy, she's a content creator, because like, I started this 9 years ago. I started this in 2014 on YouTube. Like, I have put in my blood, sweat, and tears into that YouTube channel, and I will continue working on it because I love it. And I don't think that I have just been handed this career. I think I've really put in the work. But I'm also still pursuing, you know, a more traditional path because I do see the importance in it. And I mean, at the end of the day, I still love engineering and I still have a passion for it. Of course, it's like not makeup and skincare, which I like truly love. But it's also given me the opportunity to work more in the research and development side to be able to develop my own skincare line, you know, which more information to come. So I'm grateful that I've had that inclination towards math, science, physics, chem, like all of that. I think it's, you know, made me more of a well-rounded person and allowed me to view things from very different perspectives. And in terms of working this 9-to-5 job this past year, I was really able to see both sides of things and see why people get frustrated at influencers for, you know, complaining about their jobs all the time, because like, what are you complaining about? But at the same time, like, I understand when people complain about certain things. Like, I can sympathize for both sides, but I will never, you know, sit around and let someone, you know, speak about or complain about being in a position that they should be grateful for. You know, even with a regular job, like, you don't like it, find something else that you like. If you hate your 9-to-5 job, find something else that you like. And if you have this job right now for money, that's fine. I'm not saying quit on the spot, but like, use your free time to build something that you love. And that's something that really frustrated me when I was working at this 9-to-5 job, because I would hear people say like, that's so cool that you're able to live out your dreams and you're so dedicated to your work. Like, I wish I could do something like that. And it's like, if you wish you could do something like that, go do it. You know, like, you have probably 30 hours a week that you are not working and you are not sleeping. Like, even if you take 1 hour a day towards something you love and you build up a side hustle or a business, do it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be willing to sacrifice that. And I made a whole episode on, you know, how I get annoyed when people say like they're too busy. Like, and I did a whole episode on how you can maximize your productivity. So go check that out if you want more on that topic. But the same thing, like, when, you know, influencers tell me, oh, like, how are you doing school and this and this and this? Like, you have to commit to it. And if that's something you really want to do, you're going to do it. So I think, like, if you're an influencer and you're just like constantly feeling drained by this job, yes, it's super cool. It's what everyone wants to be right now. But like, maybe it's just not for you. If it's really draining you that much, that's just my opinion. I don't think everyone's going to agree with it or like it, but that is my opinion. Kind of to conclude this podcast, yeah, I think both jobs can be difficult. Like I said in the start, you know, whether you work a 9-to-5, you're an entrepreneur, you're a content creator, you're self-employed, you're a student, you're, you know,
jobless. Like, I think every situation is hard. It just depends how you go towards it and how you handle certain things, how you handle different types of stress, whether, you know, having a following and having that many eyes on you or feeling you can never step away from work. That might be stressful to a lot of people, you know, and that might be too stressful for a lot of people. Whereas, you know, having a 9-to-5 job where you have to clock into every day, like, that would also be stressful to someone. So, like, it's very different, I think, both sides. But to end this off, like, I do think influencers have a lot of perks. The fact that they can, you know, work when they want, kind of schedule their day around their content. Like, no one's holding them accountable to that. You can kind of work from anywhere. But then, of course, there is that constant pressure on you by whether it's your fans or yourself, or the pressure that you're not doing enough, the financial pressure. You know, let's be real. Like, finances cause so much stress to people, and not having something that's stable is very, very stressful. And also knowing that, like, this may not last forever, right? I think that's a very realistic way to look at it, and it's very important to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And, because if you think, like, oh, like, this is awesome, I'm, like, you know, on top of the world as an influencer, this is, I'm gonna ride this out till, like, the end, it's like, maybe, but, like, what if people don't care about you in a year, right? So, like, you have to be constantly thinking about what you're doing next. And that's why I think, like, I'm still pursuing this career as an engineer. One, because I'm committed to getting my degrees. I want to do this. This is one of my goals. But maybe I need to do a full episode on that and dive more into why I'm kind of taking these two different paths. Give you guys more insight there. But this was such a, like, good rant for me. I feel like I need to get a lot of this off my chest. I hope you guys enjoyed, and thank you for getting loud with me in this episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. This was kind of a different topic for me. Usually I steer more towards, you know, like, the beauty standards and self-love and positivity, but I think this was an important topic for me to address, especially because I've had both experiences and I really wanted to share my thoughts with you. But thank you so much for watching this episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. If you're watching on YouTube, hi, I hope you're doing amazing. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or any other streaming service, go check out the video version on YouTube, because we film it for you. You can see my face. I can feel like I'm actually speaking to you. You know what I mean? And go let me know in the YouTube comments what you want to see next on Loud Talk with Lavi. Let me know what guests you want to see, all of that. And make sure to give this video a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, and rate it 5 stars on Apple or Spotify. But I love you guys all so, so much. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Loud Talk. Remember, tell yourself something you love about your skin today, and you'll hear from me in the next episode. Bye.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.